You know, I'll tell you what, the internet drives me crazy. I don't know how the internet knows that I'm 67 years old. I mean, I keep getting ads for skin tags and footnail, toenail fungus and erectile what's going on here? Do they know I'm 67 years old?
They do.
Hey, happy Sunday to the land of 10,000 lakes.
I'm just asking you guys a question. How do we get rid of all that stuff?
In case you're tuning in, Strew, the four outdoorsmen. Yeah. On Bob Country, producer Mark's to my left, Boomer here. Strew, you don't look a day over 70.
Attaboy.
So I don't know how they know that you're 67 years old. But I tell you what, if you're tuning in on the way home from the cabin and did a little ice fishing this weekend or locking up the cabin for the winter season or maybe just kind of closing up deer camp, we are so happy to have you on in the land of 10,000 lakes.
For outdoorsmen, pal.
I tell you what, big shout out, my dad and a good buddy of mine that teaches me a lot about fishing, Captain Lenny, are up in Bemidji tuning in. So big shout out to those guys. And it's just a great time to be in Minnesota. I know we talk about the fall, Strew, and you know, you can pretty much do anything. You got the fall fishing, you got deer hunting, you got duck hunting, you pheasant hunting, grouse hunting, yada, yada, yada. But now people are getting geared up for ice fishing because there are reports all over the state of Minnesota that there is 4 to 6 inches of ice up north. Now, be safe. You know, we talk about that, safety first. But we have a special guest. You're going to want to tune in tonight at around 6:20 after we go through our first break because we have the godfather of ice fishing on, friend of the show, Dave Gens. And he is such a pleasure to have on. So pretty pumped about that. And then don't forget, come see us, Four Outdoorsmen. We'll be cruising around probably on Saturday because the St. Paul Ice Fishing Show is at the River Center this weekend.
It is.
Starts on Friday.
Yep. Yep.
That party goes through Sunday. And that is the Super Bowl of ice fishing. 30 to 50,000 folks there. I'm sure we'll swing through the clam booth. We're happy to be bleeding blue again this year. Vexilar, Devil's Lake, North Dakota. Devil's Lake has a special announcement that they're going to be making at the St. Paul Ice Show as well.
Yeah, Tanner's going to be there, right?
Yep. Tanner, Susie. I cannot say. I am sworn to secrecy, but Devil's Lake is going to be doing something that's first of its kind related to ice fishing. So stay tuned. We're going to talk about it next Sunday, but they're going to reveal it on Facebook on Sunday.
I know what it is, to be honest with you.
You know what it is?
I talked to Tanner a couple of days ago, and he shared it with me. He said the same thing. Don't tell anybody. I said, tell you what, if I can keep my mouth shut, then so can Boomer, right?
I can keep my mouth shut.
Yeah, we'll find
That's
out.
A
Both
hard
of you guys
thing for me
are liars.
You. We are liars.
Anyway, can we have Tanner in live in studio on Sunday night to talk about that?
You know what? I'm going to shoot for the moon on that one and see if we can get Tanner in here. But when he's not working an ice fishing show this season, he's out west hunting and living the life of Riley. But let's see if we can get Tanner in on this Sunday.
Fun. I think he would do it.
All right. Now, Strew, we were talking outside the studio.
Yep.
And you had a pretty good weekend, huh?
A lot of fun. But I tell you what, Friday night.
Last week, what'd you do?
A lot. But I tell you what, I'm partying too hard. I got to be careful at this age of 67 years old. My gorgeous wife, Diana, and I went Friday to watch a friend of ours, Howie Atherton. He's One Night with Elvis. He's one of the best Elvis tribute guys you'd ever see. So, Howie, thanks for inviting us out to the Coon Rapids VFW. That must have been Friday, I think. But yep. Saturday was cool. You guys know Brian Clawwater.
Yeah, BK. BK.
Yeah. Diana and I went out. Brian Clawwater's got a cousin. And his name is Lauren Wolf, and he's a Johnny Cash tribute artist as well. He was playing in Hutchinson, Minnesota, and he was doing a whole bunch of songs, not just Johnny Cash stuff. He and his whole group.
Yeah.
And we went out to see him and his group out there. So I spent the night with BK and his family, his wife Deb, his beautiful granddaughter Ellie J. I tell you what, Ellie J is going to be a professional dancer. 5 years old, funny. Just had a great time. Daughter-in-law named Vicky, and no, that was Nicole as a daughter-in-law. But we got a shout out to Vicky, who is a friend of BK's there, and she listens every Sunday with a friend of hers named Julie Rose from New Auburn, Minnesota, and we had a wonderful time. And my highlight was Vicky did a lap dance for BK right in front of everybody because that was the highlight of mine. Just kidding, kind of. Look at Mark. He's
What just came over the airwaves?
All right, so for folks tuning in, this is the hunting and fishing show.
She tried to get us up dancing, and neither BK and I were really comfortable about it. So she kind of teased BK for a while. There was a lot of fun. So it was fun doing that with Brian Clawwater, the Catfish King. Thanks for spending some time with us.
Hey, speaking of shout-outs, Producer Mark, we have a shout-out on Facebook for folks. What is that again?
So if you guys want to go to our Facebook page, The Number 4 Outdoorsman, and put a comment in the shout-out section, we will try to read it on air. We have one here Corey from What's Working Now is a nice picture of crappie, and he has a question for Dave Gens, our first guest after 6:20. I'm going to save that for Dave. But if you have a question for Dave Gens, feel free to put that in the comment section or send us your early ice picks. Man, I was driving home, and I saw all sorts of people out on the ice up at Peltier Lake by my house, Centerville Lake. There's ice fishing shacks everywhere.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure we're going to have a Four Outdoorsmen trip coming up here soon, and we're also going to be doing our annual trip up to Devil's Lake where we go ice fishing. And Stru right now has the trophy for the big jumbo perch from last year. But speaking of walking on water or hard water, there's that really cool event that I talked about after the Hardwater Expo, the Ice Queen, which is the virtual ice fishing tournament. This is presented by our friends at Woman Anglers of Minnesota and Clam Outdoors, another great sponsor of our show. It takes place from January 1st, 2019 to the end of February. And you download an app and you click fish in a tournament and you click then the Ice Queen virtual ice fishing tournament. And there you go. I guess you post your pictures, and there's a great lineup of prizes. And I was talking to friend of the show, Scott Merwin, his wife, Kristen Merwin, who's the president of Woman Anglers in Minnesota. And they're already, now they just kind of let it leak out word of mouth. So we kind of call that a soft launch, right, for this ice fishing
tournament.
That's
what you call it.
Guess how many women have already signed up for the Ice Queen virtual ice fishing tournament?
I'd say 210.
210, producer Mark?
110.
Over 300 women.
That's a lot.
And it already hasn't really hit the press.
That's really cool.
That's cool. So go to the St. Paul Ice Fishing Show. The Women Anglers of Minnesota, I believe, have a booth there, or they'll probably be around the Clam booth or the Vexlar booth, and learn more about that Ice Queen virtual ice fishing tournament. That's cool.
Yeah. What if you identify as a woman? Can you join that tournament?
You know what? That's
There's
a really
a
good
worms,
question,
yeah.
Mark.
I bet you could.
No.
I bet you could. Yeah.
Hey.
How was your week, buddy? Did you do some
ice
fishing?
Yeah, you know what? I did not go ice fishing. You know, I like to wait for the ice to get about 6 inches, but I'm sure there's a trip in my future coming up. But I did go through all my Clam Pro tackle, get all the rods ready, get the ice armor suits all ready to go. Went through the Vexlars, of course. Every year they fire right up. That's, you know, of course, a Vexlar. And then the K-Drill, which is really cool. I mean, that's that attached auger that you put to your cordless 18-volt screw driver. And it's less than 9-10 pounds. And, boy, you can chum about 400 inches of ice with just one battery. So I got everything laid out in the basement, ready to go. So I can't wait to walk on some water.
You know, I know you get excited. I've known you for about 5 years, a little more than 5 years right now. And you get excited every time the season changes. But I don't think you get any more excited than you do about ice fishing.
Well, you know, open water fishing, ice fishing, fall deer season, I get super pumped about all of them, because the great thing about living up here in Minnesota is we get to experience all four seasons. And with those four seasons come a variety of outdoor activities that realm and fishing and hunting. So, yeah, I get jacked up, and I really get jacked up before some of the big sports shows, like with Alumacraft, before the Minneapolis Boat Show. You'll see me getting high on adrenaline. And now that we have the St. Paul Ice Fishing Show hanging out at the Clam Booth or Vexlar or Devil's Lake, I just get equally as jacked. Now, I almost get as jacked as our producer, Mark, who went to a special event in Wisconsin, didn't you, buddy?
I want to give a shout out to my Minnesota Golden Gophers for finally bringing home the axe.
Yeah, you bet. That was fun to watch.
So for those of you that don't know, I'm from the Madison area. My dad is a huge Badger fan. I decided to come to Minnesota because I heard the hunting and fishing was so much better. And I've lived up here for 18 years and have been a hardcore Gophers fan ever since. We're rolling the boat in here.
Brian Clawwitter just invaded the studio. He's the host of the Homegrown Show and his diehard who's on the back of your Vikings jersey? Number 50.
That's his last name.
All right.
Well, that's the engineer just came into the studio rolling the boat with an axe.
But what's very interesting is producer Mark is a diehard Gopher fan, but then he flips states to cheer for the Green Bay Packers. How does that work?
There's some logical thought behind this now. So I grew up in Wisconsin, always a Packer fan. I will always be a Packer fan. But I went to the University of Minnesota. That's my alma mater. And so I am a huge Gopher fan, and I still am a Packer fan.
Boy, I tell you, that's a tough thing to do. Good for you, buddy.
Yeah. Hey.
Anyway.
happy belated Thanksgiving on another
The Gophers dominated the Badgers. First time. Since I've been to college, they've won one time. I think it was 2003. First time since 1994 they won in Madison. I can't tell you. If I was a younger man, I'd probably still be on State Street party.
I don't blame you.
It was so much fun. And seeing all the folks from Minnesota there, so many smiling faces. So I want to give a shout out to PJ Fleck and the Minnesota Golden Gophers. Row the boat, baby.
And I'll tell you what, maybe there'll be a doubleheader tonight because the Packers are playing the Vikings in Minnesota. Packers are favored. No, Vikes are favored by 3.5 or so.
Yeah.
I don't see that. I mean, I'm a homegrown
Viking
fan. Well,
I checked ESPN, and still, even after the loss with the Bears, they still have the power rankings of the Vikes being like number 9.
Yeah.
So that's pretty amazing. Now, with that being said, Strewman, we talked a little bit about hunting and all that good jazz. Now, I got some preliminary deer harvest numbers for firearm season in the state of Minnesota.
So if they're preliminary, why are we talking about them?
Because that's the latest numbers they released.
That's good enough for
all
me.
All right. So with that being said, you guys got a sneak peek of this. I sent you the email. These numbers are through November 18th, and I know we're a couple days past that. But with that being said, the harvest for 2018 through 11/18 or November 18th was 148,000 deer. Okay, that's a combination of bucks and does. The bucks were actually at about 78,886, which what I thought through social media and which I experienced at deer camp with my dad, my daughter, you know, Thayner and his dad, Mike,
yep, yep,
that the harvest was actually up. And I know we had Dave Orrick on last week, and Dave was saying that he thought numbers were down. Again, I was talking to my buddy up in Bemidji, Captain Lenny, showed me a lot about the outdoors and fishing and life in general. You know, he had a really good season up north as well. But in 2017 or 2017, there was almost 161,000 deers harvested through November 18th, the firearm season. That means if that trend continues, that we're down almost 12,000 deer.
And I understand
5-10%.
And I think that's what's going to happen. I forget the name of the butcher. Kennick, was it down in the Fairmont mm-hmm. area or Montgomery area? He told me the same thing, that they're having not as a productive season as they did in 2017 as well. My cousin Butch was up in the Ely area. He's been up there a billion years. He always sees deer. He didn't even see a deer this year, and he hunts every day. He hunts all 10 days. He's up there
the
entire time.
He went 10 days without seeing a deer?
Without seeing a deer, wow, in the woods. Yeah.
I don't feel so bad for my one day up there.
Oh, my goodness. So, yeah, you know, it was a, you know, for us, it was a great deer season. I mean, I thought the numbers would be up. I guess looking at the glass being half full, they projected the deer population to be a lot healthier this year than last year from the experts that we've talked to on the show. So
are license numbers down or up?
You know what? I don't know. I think I read some stuff and talked to some folks. I thought license numbers were relatively flat. I think they say over the course of deer season, there's about 500,000 men and women and mm-hmm. boys and girls that deer hunt in the state of Minnesota, which if you think about that, that's an absolutely amazing number. But we'll dig into that for next show.
We're going to talk with Corey Dukart from out in Maryland, West Virginia area as well in the second half of our show. He's with Mossy Oak. He's going to talk about some of his deer hunting experiences the last couple of years and whatnot. But he mentioned to me just today that the deer hunting numbers, a number of hunters out that area are down as well. So he's a little concerned about it, like we all should be.
I think, and this is my two cents, much like fishing, I really wish they would simplify the deer hunting process. And, you know, every zone has a different, you know, quota. You can, you know, get an antlerless in this area, and then a block away you can't. I just really wish that they would simplify things, and I think that would encourage more people to hunt.
And to exemplify exactly what you're talking about, you and I hunted in the wrong zone.
Yeah, we did.
We had our licenses.
Well, you know
the
what?
It's
tricky where we've done deer hunted in Bacchus, Minnesota, because literally like a mile or two up the road,
yeah,
it was like you could shoot two deer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And in my zone, it was hunter's choice, you know, which is a buck or a doe.
And I get that. I just think over management sometimes hurts the sport.
Well, that's why I love fishing in Devil's Lake, North Dakota.
Yeah, yeah.
Because,
yeah, we
well,
know,
seriously,
we know,
though.
We know.
Walleye season is open. Fishing season is open all year round in Devil's Lake, North Dakota. There's no slot on the walleyes. The population is still absolutely amazing. And you can keep a 2-day possession limit, which means you can bring home 10 walleyes to the freezer, baby. So that's what I love about Devil's Lake. Now, going back to what producer Mark talked about with Gopher Sports, there's a really cool contest going on with Alumacraft boats and Gopher Sports. Alumacraft actually made a golden gopher boat,
cool,
which has the colors of the gophers, right? Even the motor from Evinrude has the colors, the maroon, the gold. It's got Goldie the Gopher on it.
Man,
and
I
if you want to win this
Have you seen
boat...
It? It's cool.
It's a, I believe it's a Competitor 175. They gave away a Competitor Shadow Series last year to some folks in North Dakota. But this year, just go to gophersports.com/Alumacraft, and you can enter for a chance to win this boat. And it is absolutely amazing. Plus, this boat's been on display at TCF Bank Stadium. It's also on display at the 3M at Mariucci Arena. So I encourage you, even if you're not going to go to a game and you want to see a one-of-a-kind Golden Gopher Alumacraft boat, go to one of the Gopher Sports venues right now at 3M Mariucci Arena.
Speaking of Alumacraft, I'm also happy to announce that they're going to be participating in this year's Minnesota Bound Crappie Contest again. So you can win a free Alumacraft boat by signing up for the Crappie Contest and getting a random weight crappie drawn, and you can win that boat. That's the week before opener fishing for crappies. So
I tell you what, I love that contest, Drew. I remember Sophie and I participated in that.
Yeah.
And it's not about the biggest fish. It's about getting kids out there. And that's why I love how Minnesota Bound does that in partnership with Alumacraft, because they have a random weight.
Yep.
And so if that random weight matches the weight that that boy or girl brought in, and I'll never forget the little boy's face, that one that Escape 145 with that Evinrude motor. I mean, he was like in shock, and Dad's like, we got a boat, we're fishing a lot more often. So kudos to all you guys do at Minnesota Bound and Alumacraft for getting more boys and girls and kids and youth into the outdoors.
Hey, I've got a new game
fishing
called Your Thought Please. Listen, I found a couple of things that happened talking about Wisconsin recently here. Did you hear
3 minutes
about
we got
guys?
3 minutes.
This won't take long. It's just a couple of questions, a couple of comments. Did you hear about these two guys in Wisconsin that just happened last week who shot a doe? And they went to Walmart, had to get something on the way home. They stopped at Walmart. The deer's in the back of their pickup truck. They didn't want any other cheesehead to steal their deer. They put it in a shopping cart and went into the store shopping for the deer in their shopping cart. Only in Wisconsin. Your thoughts, please.
Well, you know what? I remember when my buddies from Missouri would come up and deer hunt with me in Minnesota, and they had never seen people put deer over like a Toyota Prius
to haul it home.
I guess that's just par for the course when it comes to deer hunting in the Midwest.
I got
good
another
for those
one here.
Folks.
This is a serious one. I'll tell you what. This also happened in western Wisconsin by Balsam Lake, Wisconsin. Somebody who was with the DNR, well, the DNR is getting blasted because there's a politician who is also a firefighter in Apple River, I think it is, by Balsam Lake, and he's a Republican representative or something. The DNR got a call that there's a deer, a small fawn, 500 yards out onto the lake, and the DNR calls the Apple River Fire Department to go rescue this deer. Five of the firefighters did go out there, and one of the firefighters, who is this Republican representative that I'm telling you about, said, BS, I'm not going. It's just a deer. Do you risk five people's lives to go get a deer who's on the ice?
No. I would not do that.
I would not risk my life to go save a deer. But if I could, like, bring, like, a John boat or something,
go
out there.
They had no boat.
I don't know if I would do that. Maybe I would throw a lasso at it or something to try to hook the horns.
I feel bad. You know, he got out there. Maybe he'll get back. Maybe he won't. But I agree. And those are the only two.
I like that game. Yeah. Or not game, but kind of. I like that. Your thoughts.
Give me your thoughts.
By Jack Handy.
Give me your thoughts.
That's aging us,
right? This is interesting as well. I also read recently that a guy who lost his shotgun was stolen out of his house in 1977. This is your thoughts real quickly here. 1977. It was found 40 years later in Texas. This guy's from Michigan. It's found in Texas. Regular routine police stop, a traffic stop. Young kid, 18 years old, has this shotgun in his car. He just bought it a week ago from a private party, and now it's got to go back to this guy 40 years later. And the kid didn't know he bought a stolen gun. He gets it back 40 years later. If you had that gun, that was your gun, would you let the kid keep it?
No.
You're a jerk.
You know what? I think it would depend on the situation. If it was a kid just getting into hunting,
nope,
I might do that. All right, we got some music playing. Stay tuned. Action-packed show for Outdoors and Bob Country. We have the godfather of ice fishing, Dave Gens, who has just been on the ice today, calling us on his way home from the cabin. Stay tuned for Dave Gens next on the 4 Outdoorsman.
Missed part of Bob Outdoors? No problem. Just click on the weekend tab at mybobcountry.com to listen back to the 4 Outdoorsmen anytime.
If you love walleye fishing, then you'll love Devil's Lake, North Dakota, where walleye season is open 365 days a year. Plus, you can keep 5 walleyes a day with a 2-day possession limit. What does that mean? You can bring home 10 walleyes to the freezer, baby, and there's no slot limit. Devil's Lake just doesn't have world-class walleye fishing. It's got awesome jumbo perch, northern pike, and white bass. For lodging and guide options, up-to-date fishing reports, visit devilslakend.com.
There is only one gear and apparel outfitter that is the Four Outdoorsmen approved, Wild Fowler. Wild Fowler provides head-to-toe concealment and patterns for every possible hunting season. There is no reason to be cold and wet while hunting. When you wear Wild Fowler, you remain dry, comfortable, and quiet. Wild Fowler is a Minnesota company made for Minnesota hunts. To get your Wild Fowler gear in time for your season, go to wildfowleroutfitter.com or visit your local Fleet Farm store. wildfowleroutfitter.com.
Deadshot Custom Call Company is the only duck call trusted and used by the Four Outdoorsmen. Deadshot Custom Calls are handmade in Minnesota and not available in stores because each call has a direct connection to you. Immortalize your hunting dog with the Man's Best Friend series or have a custom image or theme made just for you, whether on your lanyard or on your wall. Deadshot Custom Calls are made from the finest acrylics to last for generations. Customize your call at DeadshotCustomCalls.com.
Boomer here. Happy Sunday to the land of 10,000 lakes. And if you've been out and around, you can notice there are all kinds of people out there walking on the water. And I'm proud to announce again, Clam Outdoors, partnering with the Four Outdoorsmen on Bob Country. Clam Outdoors is based right here in Minnesota. And when you think of ice fishing, you think of Clam Outdoors for the leaders in safety, technology, innovation, houses, etc., etc. The ice armor suits that we use at the Four Outdoorsmen, we put them to the test. In Gogebic, Michigan, where it was 10 degrees, blowing 40-mile-an-hour winds, or out in Devil's Lake, North Dakota, or on Mille Lacs. The ice armor suits kept us warm and toasty and moving around. Plus, Clam has a great lineup of tackle with the Clam Pro Tackle lineup. Those tungsten jigs drop down 30% faster and help you feel the bite that much more. Plus, they have new products in their ice armor suits that help you float. The ice houses have more insulation in them. To learn more about the leader in ice fishing, visit clamoutdoors.com.
Rooster. Yep, hunting season is here, and it's time to make a trip to Sandpine Pheasants Family Recreation in Avon, Minnesota. Sandpine Pheasants is located just an hour from the Twin Cities and is open to the public with no membership fees. Enjoy hunting one of their 9 fields, try a European hunt, or book a guided hunt. Sandpine Pheasants is open 7 days a week and also the largest central Minnesota dealer of the Action Track Chair, a great tool for helping the disabled hunt. Learn more at sandpinepheasants.com.
Did you know that there are veteran service officers in every county in Minnesota? This is Larry Shalto, Commissioner of Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and I urge every veteran to visit their county veteran service officer. You may not need them today, but you and your family may need them someday. They are your primary point of contact and will assist you in seeking local, state, and federal veterans benefits. Get in touch with your county veteran service officer by calling 1-888-LINK-VET and find out what benefits you may be eligible to receive.
Hey, Boomer here for the land of 10,000 lakes. Everyone's walking on the hard water, and the Four Outdoorsmen don't walk on the hard water without their trusty Vexilar unit, the leader in marine electronics when it comes to ice fishing. The FLX 28 series has been irresistibly the best ice fishing electronic we've used. It lasts in cold weather. The battery lasts you for 3 or 4 days. And don't forget about K-Drill. When you connect that auger to your 18-volt cordless, brushless, cordless drill, it only less than 10 pounds. It will drill 400 inches of ice on one battery. To learn more about Vexilar, visit Vexilar.com.
What's in store this holiday at your local Staples?
Mistle toner.
And ink nog, huh?
I mean, come on, who doesn't think ink and toner during the holidays?
You don't. Okay, well, Staples is aiming to fix that. Right now, you get 25% back in rewards when you spend $75 on ink or $200 on toner.
Now who's not thinking ink and toner this holiday?
Give your printer the gift of ink and receive 25% back in rewards.
Staples, there's a whole lot in store.
Valid 11/22 to 11/26/18. Restrictions apply. See store or staples.com/25back for details.
Tonight, Dirty John premieres.
I'm John.
I'm Deborah.
The critically acclaimed podcast you couldn't stop listening to.
John gives me so much.
Becomes the television event you can't miss.
You don't know this man at all.
He's lying to you about everything.
What?
He's going to ruin your life.
Connie Britton.
Why are you doing this?
Eric Bana.
You don't even know who I am.
Let me in!
Dirty John premieres tonight at 10, only on Bravo.
Country.
All right, it's Sunday evening, 6 p.m., and it's time for the Four Outdoorsmen on Bob Country. And if you've been near any lake, you've noticed that there are men and women, boys and girls, enjoying the amazing sport of ice fishing. And we have a treat for you tonight. The godfather of ice fishing, Mr. Dave Gens. Dave, can you hear us?
Oh, yeah, certainly can.
Hey, Dave.
So we can hear you.
Hey, Dave, thanks again for being on the show and being a friend of the Four Outdoors and on Bob Country. It's absolutely an honor. We're always humbled to have you on and to be a friend of the show. Dave, where are you at right now while you're calling in?
Well, I'm sitting in a Senex gas station in Park Rapids.
Ah, well, yeah. If you're sitting in a Senex gas station in Park Rapids, I'm guessing Mr. Dave Gens was doing some ice fishing today.
Yeah, I was out on one of the Crow Wing lakes. That gives you, I think there's eight of them, so I was on one of them eight lakes.
Now, and Dave, how did fishing go? How much ice was out there?
We had 8 inches of ice. I measured it, so and it's cold, and we had just enough warm weather that it melted all the snow or made it hard. So these next few cold days is going to make some ice.
Oh wow! So,
we did okay. We caught some bluegills and a few crappies. I caught a couple of bass. A northern always, bites a jig off or two, and I always joke about that one. Them clam pro tackle jig when a fish bites them off. So I go, there goes another $5, and I go, yeah, and I made a nickel.
That's pretty good, Dave. That's pretty good. Yeah.
Hey, Dave, producer Mark here. Thanks for joining us. I just have a question for you. When you go out on a lake and set up, do you suddenly get a crowd of people around you wanting to talk the whole time?
Well, I tried to avoid them crowds. Otherwise, that is exactly what happened.
Yeah.
I was at a landing in a lake yesterday. We come in, and, pretty soon I'm signing autographs on hats. And, but I was coming off the lake. That's the good thing. So I stay away from the crowd. And I fish off my snowmobile all the time. I hardly ever take my house out even. I'm wearing my portable fish house and our good ice armor clothing and, it's still another important thing about this time of the year is that, our float suits, the new Rise suit.
Oh, yeah.
It's comfortable, it's flexible, it's warm. And plus, if you did go through the ice, you wouldn't sink. So.
Well, Dave, you've fished a lot of years ice fishing and developed the original fish trap, which is, continued to evolve throughout the years with your partnership with Clam Outdoors. But with all the years of ice fishing, it seems like this year got a little chillier quicker than years past. What are you thinking about ice in general for the state of Minnesota? What are you experiencing or seeing?
Well, I've covered quite a bit of ground already this year. Yes, more ice. Last year started out early, but then it warmed up and it kind of went dormant for a while, where this year it keeps making more ice and more ice. And I think it's really going to, by after the ice show, I think they'll be driving on some of the lakes.
Wow. Wow.
Which is really early. Usually it's Christmas before that happens. But it's the smaller lakes. You can't go out in one that's 100 feet deep and run across the middle of it yet. I wouldn't. But, working the bays and the shallower lakes, there seems to be lots of ice on them.
Cool. Thanks, Dave. Well, we had a couple of questions written in when we said you're going to be on. So the first question is from Corey. When choosing jigs for ice fishing, how do you decide when to use vertical versus horizontal presentations?
Well, I'm using a lot of plastics as well as live bait. And if you're using the bloodworm imitators, mm-hmm. I like to put that on a horizontal bait, a vertical bait, so that the bloodworm is hanging horizontal and the lure is hanging straight down. And if I'm using a bug style, a Jamie or a Mackie, I like to put that on a vertical jig because it's more of a swimming motion.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. Another question from a listener is, when do you use the low power on your Vexlar, and why?
Well, I was using it today because I was fishing in the weed.
Okay.
The 28's got a weed mode, but it's still really similar to the low power mode. And, you're fishing in the weeds, and you can tune the weeds out then and still see the fish that are down there. It's a little tricky to see your jig sometimes, but you can turn it to low power and then start turning up the gain a little bit till you see your jig.
Right. So that way your whole screen isn't blocked out with weeds if you go a lower power, you're saying?
Correct. You know, I was in, 8 feet of water and the weeds came up to 4. So when I turned it to low power, suddenly I could see that bottom 4 feet again, where the and that's where the fish were, hiding amongst the weeds.
You know, Dave, when it comes to early ice, and I know we've got you here for another 10 minutes, and we really appreciate your time. For folks tuning in on the Four Outdoorsmen tonight, we have the godfather of ice fishing on, Mr. Dave Gens, as he's at a Senex parking lot up in Park Rapids, Minnesota. Dave, what are some early ice fishing safety tips you can share with our listeners?
Well, if, you know, if you're worried about the ice, is walk with a chisel. That's what I do. You take a step, and then you hit with the chisel. You take another step. You hit with a chisel. You don't go all the way out there and drill a hole and see how thick it is. You know, you got to check the ice. Something to remember this time of the year is the ice is thick by shore and thin in the middle. You know, so just because it's thick by shore doesn't mean you can go out in the middle of the lake. You know, it's kind of the reverse of spring. In spring, it's thin by shore and thick in the middle. You know, so and you know, to wear a life jacket. You know, the I used to wear a life jacket. Now we're lucky enough to have these float suits. It's just a very important part of, you know, getting out there on early ice. And, you know, I've never been the first person to drive on a lake, you know, and I don't ever plan on being that. I've been the last person to drive on, but I've never been the first.
Hey, Dave Struman here. Thanks for being on the Four Outdoorsman. Dave Gens, of course. You talk about the float suit, and it just seems like it's been the last couple of years that it's become really out there, that people are talking about the float suit, how important it is, and it definitely is. How long ago was the float suit, quote-unquote, invented? I mean, it seems like it's common sense that it should have been out there a long, long time ago, and we're just starting to talk about it the last couple of years.
Well, it's the materials that are available. The closed cell foam is that has the air trapped inside of it. You know, the material that you know, holds up. Before, our foam, you know, there's been float suits around forever that I think it was called the Mustang suit up in Canada. You know, and when the guys were there, they looked like the Tin Man walking around. and now they've got comfortable. That's what I think. That's why we're wearing them, is because they're stylish and warm and comfortable, and plus they help you if you would fall in. And I'm really excited about wearing them in the fall and in the spring when the water's coldest. Yeah, I think most of us, we don't wear our life jackets. You know, they're sitting there, and if I fell out of the boat, there's no way I'm going to get back in it anymore. I'm too old. You know, so the float suit's going to, you know, keep me up in the spring and fall, too, when I'm in my boat.
So you're saying that those float suits even make you look good.
Yeah, that's it. That's
all the help I can. Go ahead, Mark. Mark's got something.
Hey, Dave, I have a question for you, and I know you have a love for panfish, which I share with you. As a father of three small boys, I think probably 75% of the time I'm fishing for panfish. And can you kind of give us some tips on, I think I'm going to take the boys out maybe this weekend. And I'm assuming, you know, a lot of people talk about the panfish are over the weeds right now because a lot of weeds are still green. Can you kind of help break down a lake and where you might start searching for some early ice panfish?
Well, I'm going to look for a flat area. You know, it could be a bay.
Yep.
And I'm going to look for the deepest part of that bay.
Okay.
You know, and now if there's a, you know, an inside turn, you know, something that kind of cuts back into the weeds a little farther where it's, you know, 10 feet deep and it goes up to 5-6, you know, I'm going to find the edge of that, because them fish will kind of come out of the weeds. They'd sooner feed outside of the weeds at prime time in the evening.
Okay.
They want to swim in a straight line, but they're hiding in the weeds during the daytime because the pike are chasing them.
Right.
So that's why they're kind of around the weeds. And I think one of the best tips I could to give you and your boys when you take them out is, you know, get out there about an hour before the sun goes down and fish till the sun goes down, because that's when the fish are more active.
So you're really kind of looking for the weed edge there just to have a little space rather than right on top of the weeds at this point?
Yes, and then if you, you know, again, you look at your Vexilar and there's a bunch of lines you don't understand, which are more than likely weeds, you know, drill a hole 2 feet away from that and find a hole that the weeds aren't so thick in. You can read your Lexlar and the fish will come into them holes.
Okay. Look for a little opening maybe in the middle of a weed bed?
Correct. You know, because a lot of the weeds have fallen down. They're not all standing anymore like it is in the summertime. And then ideally some of our lakes, when the farther you get up north, the fish actually migrate to the deep water. I was catching, crappies and bluegills in 27 feet of water a couple of days ago, 25 feet down. That's the ideal situation to find because you don't put your line down until there's fish on the screen and there's marks down there and they have to be fish.
Mm-hmm. Dave, so when you're going to a new lake, and for some tips for our listeners, Dave Gens is on the Four Outdoorsmen tonight, the godfather of ice fishing. Dave, let's say a listener is going to their favorite retail store and they want to pick up a few pieces of tackle or rod and reel. They're taking their family pan fishing. Can you give them a couple general tips on what you'd recommend as far as color, sizes, and what kind of rod you think they should get?
Well, that's a very good question because there's so many options for a beginner, I would suggest a soft tipped rod or a spring bobber, something that they can detect the bites by watching. Yourself and myself, more experienced, will go with a stiffer rod that we use feel, but a newcomer is not going to be able to have that feel, so they need a visual aid. And I would pick a fairly heavy jig, a smaller size, but a heavy, and that is tungsten, of course. Now they're heavier because the jig has to take the kinks out of your line. It has to make it hang straight. That's so important. So a lot of people leave their line on from last year. They got 6-pound test, and now they got a small jig on it, and it doesn't hang straight. So it's really hard to detect the bites then or give the proper action. So there were just a few things that can help you. And then plastic, but I would take some live bait along, too. I'm a big fan of the Eurolarva or spikes, and hook them lightly on the end so they're wiggling on there. And, that can help you catch a lot more fish.
Dave, I remember at one of the photo shoots we were at, you showed me a trick about hooking spikes to really antagonize the bite of those crappies. And if you remember, we got that beautiful crappie up the hole. Can you share with our listeners the correct way to hook that spike to really get the most out of that live bait?
Well, there's this pointed end on them and a flat end on them. And you look at the flat end, and there's a couple little black dots on the flat end of it. And that's the best place to put a hook. And in that area where little bulges where the black dots, there's a clear liquid in there. It's not white, or if you're Euro or whatever, it's not red, it's not yellow, it's clear. And that's the natural fish attractor that's in spikes. Now, if you're going to thread a spike on like you would a wax worm, use wax worms. You don't want to thread the spike on. You want to just hook that little bulge on the blunt end.
Hey, David, tell you, Strewman here. Thanks again for being on the show. You talked about the spring bobbers, and we've got a couple of minutes here. And it reminded me of two summers ago that we went fishing with Scotty Irwin, our friend Scotty Irwin, who you know very well.
Merwin.
I'm sorry. There's a lady friend of mine, Linda Irwin. But Scotty Merwin of Lake Osakis Guide Service. We're up here on Lake Osakis, and we were getting hits and not catching the crappies. They were so finicky. People all around us. And Scotty Merwin told us to put our fishing rods down. He gave us all ice fishing rods with spring bobbers on in the middle of the summer, right in the middle of Lake Osakis. And it was so cool. We started catching fish, and people thought, what are these idiots doing with ice fishing rods in the middle of summer? All because Scotty changed some things up. Ice fishing rods with spring bobbers, they even worked in the summer. It was great.
I even have a boat called, I call it my holy boat, because I've got 8-inch holes cut in the floor of the boat, and I've got my Vexlar FLX 28 mounted up on above it. So I'm actually using my ice fishing rod and watching them on the sonar in the summertime.
God, that's cool.
Well, Dave, I know you got a lot of stuff going. I know you want to get back to the house to watch the Vikings beat the Packers tonight.
Are we
going to
see them Sunday?
Yeah. Yep. So I wanted to ask you, Dave, where can our listeners see you next? Where's the next public appearance for the Godfather of Ice Fishing?
Probably the ice fishing show, huh?
Well, yeah, I'll be at the ice fishing show on Saturday. All day Saturday, I'll be in the clam booth and, talking ice fishing, showing off the pictures of the fish I've caught so far this year, and hopefully helping more people catch fish. I'll have a lot of my equipment will be there that I use all the time, and I'm excited. It's always fun to go down to the ice show.
Well, wear your float suit so you look your best, okay? We'll try to see you down there.
All right, Dave. Thanks again for joining us on the Four Outdoorsmen. Dave Gens, look forward to seeing you on Saturday, sir.
All right. Sounds good, Boomer.
Take care.
All right, there he is. Stay tuned. Next on the Four Outdoorsmen, Strewman's got a special guest. Corey Dukart from Maryland's going to talk about a deer hunting experience with a buddy who went for the first time at 30 years old in West Virginia.
You're listening to the Four Outdoorsmen, part of Bob Outdoors.
If you love walleye fishing, then you'll love Devil's Lake, North Dakota, where walleye season is open 365 days a year. Plus, you can keep 5 walleyes a day with a 2-day possession limit. What does that mean? You can bring home 10 walleyes to the freezer, baby, and there's no slot limit. Devil's Lake just doesn't have world-class walleye fishing. It's got awesome jumbo perch, northern pike, and white bass. For lodging and guide options, up-to-date fishing reports, visit devilslakend.com.
There is only one gear and apparel outfitter that is the Four Outdoorsmen approved, Wild Fowler. Wild Fowler provides head-to-toe concealment and patterns for every possible hunting season. There is no reason to be cold and wet while hunting. When you wear Wild Fowler, you remain dry, comfortable, and quiet. Wild Fowler is a Minnesota company made for Minnesota hunts. To get your Wild Fowler gear in time for your season, go to wildfowleroutfitter.com or visit your local Fleet Farm store. wildfowleroutfitter.com.
Deadshot Custom Call Company is the only duck call trusted and used by the Four Outdoorsmen. Deadshot Custom Calls are handmade in Minnesota and not available in stores because each call has a direct connection to you. Immortalize your hunting dog with the Man's Best Friend series or have a custom image or theme made just for you, whether on your lanyard or on your wall. Deadshot Custom Calls are made from the finest acrylics to last for generations. Customize your call at deadshotcustomcalls.com.
Boomer here. Happy Sunday to the land of 10,000 lakes. And if you've been anywhere near a lake, you know that many men and women, boys and girls, are already ice fishing. And when we think of ice fishing at the Four Outdoorsmen, we think of the leader of ice fishing, Clam Outdoors. Clam Outdoors is based right in Rogers, Minnesota, and they're the leader when it comes to tackle, gear, apparel, rods, reels, and portable ice houses. Clam Outdoors, we take it everywhere we go, our fish traps, our X2s. We bring our ice armor suits wherever we're fishing. If we're up in Devil's Lake, North Dakota, fishing jumbo perch, or visiting our buddy John Sibley up in Gogebic Mission, Michigan. Clam Outdoors also has a new ice armor suit. It's called the Motion Float Suit, which keeps you comfortable, makes you look good like the Strew Man, like Dave Gens just said, and keeps you afloat. Clam Pro Tackle, their lineup of tungsten jigs, are leading the way for ice fishing tackle. To learn more about the leader in ice fishing, go to clamoutdoors.com.
Rooster. Yep, hunting season is here, and it's time to make a trip to Sandpine Pheasants Family Recreation in Avon, Minnesota. Sandpine Pheasants is located just an hour from the Twin Cities and is open to the public with no membership fees. Enjoy hunting one of their 9 fields, try a European hunt, or book a guided hunt. Sandpine Pheasants is open 7 days a week and also the largest central Minnesota dealer of the Action Track Chair, a great tool for helping the disabled hunt. Learn more at sandpinepheasants.com.
What's in store this holiday at your local Staples?
Mistle toner.
And ink nog, huh?
I mean, come on, who doesn't think ink and toner during the holidays?
You don't. Okay. Well, Staples is aiming to fix that. Right now, you get 25% back in rewards when you spend $75 on ink or $200 on toner.
Now who's not thinking ink and toner this holiday?
Give your printer the gift of ink and receive 25% back in rewards.
Staples. There's a whole lot in store.
Valid 11/22 to 11/26/18. Restrictions apply. See store or staples.com/25back for details.
Tonight, Dirty John premieres.
I'm John.
I'm Deborah.
The critically acclaimed podcast you couldn't stop listening to.
John gives me so much.
Becomes the television event you can't miss.
You don't know this man at all.
He's lying to you about everything.
What?
He's going to ruin your life.
Connie Britton.
Why are you doing this?
Eric Bana.
You don't even know who I am.
Let me in!
Dirty John premieres tonight at 10, only on Bravo.
Black Friday deals are still going strong at Lowe's, where you can save $20 on a Craftsman 51-piece mechanics tool set now for just $59.98. The set includes drive tools, sockets, extension, and a 120-tooth ratchet with a 3-degree arc swing, so you can get into those hard-to-reach spaces. Plus, it's backed by a full lifetime warranty, so you can be sure the tool you need will be there when you need it. Get yours today at Lowe's, the new home of Craftsman. Offer valid 11/21 through 11/28 while supplies last. See store for details. U.S. only.
It's Black Friday weekend. Save hundreds shopping at Boot Barn for work, Western, and fashion boots and clothing. Get select Cody James and Cheyenne premium leather boots for just $119.99. And select Infinite kids boots start at $14.99. Select men's, ladies, and kids outerwear is 20% off. Plus, select denim styles are buy one, get one free. Share the gift of the West this holiday and save big at Boot Barn.
Hey, we're back, guys. This is Steve Straczynski, the Stru Man. Boomer's with me. Mark Lukey, our producer, the third of the four outdoorsmen. And we'll have Mark Fisher be our fourth outdoorsman today because we got nobody else. So he's by default. But anyway,
got love in my heart, but I got nobody in here but Brandon. And he's a good man.
Mark will be on at 7 o'clock with Bear Facts and Fish Tales at 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock right after us. Hey, I'll tell you what. Welcome to the Four Outdoorsmen, everybody. Corey Dukart is going to be our next guest. Corey, are you there?
I'm here.
Hey, Corey Dukart out of Maryland, Minnesota. Maryland, Minnesota.
Maryland.
What part of Maryland are you from, Corey?
I live in Westminster, Maryland, which is about 35 minutes west of Baltimore.
Boy, that sounds like a lot of money. It sounds like rich people live in Westminster, doesn't it?
It does sound like a rich area. Do you live, Corey, live in like a gated community there?
I don't, no. This Westminster's not one of the rich ones that you hear in all the other places.
Well, it sure sounds rich.
Yeah, hey, Corey, thanks for being on the Four Outdoors.
Like Martha's Vineyards.
And Corey is a member of the, he's a regional pro staff guy for Mossy Oak brand Camo. Been doing that since 2008. And the reason I got a hold of more Corey, is that I read an article.
You were
not
lonely?
Even sure. I wasn't even sure where I found this article. He wrote an article called First Time Hunting Stories Are the Best Hunting Stories. And I tell you, it got me because we've all been there. And one of the things you said in that story, Corey, was that you found it more interesting, more valuable to you to help somebody else than get a deer yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, to me, that experience and that, you know, to me, that story was just about not taking things for granted, and it allowed me to, you know, that experience with Andrew Reed, you know, Reed as we all call him, and as he was referenced to in the story there, you know, it allowed me to kind of watch things through his eyes a little bit and just realize, like, you know, the conversations that you have at deer camp with the guys you're hunting with, that, you know, when you've never heard that kind of stuff, you know, I mentioned in there how we were referring to different places that we were hunting, Slippery Rock or Bear Rock, and, you know, and we just all kind of take those conversations for granted, but he comes in as a newbie and he's looking around and listening. He's like, you know, how do these places get these crazy names? And as deer hunters know, it doesn't take but a very simple, you know, moment to name a spot in the woods for forever. You know, people always have these goofy names for places. So it was just having that fresh pair of eyes. You know?
Everybody listens to the Four Outdoorsmen knows that I hunt up in Ely, Minnesota, and my favorite place is called the Greek Stand, and there's a long, long story behind that one as well. And so, but that, I find that very, very interesting. How did you get Reed to start hunting at the age of 30?
He has been a friend of ours for many years now. He actually ended up marrying a gal that we went to school with. When I say we, Dusty was the other fella, Dusty Evans, that was with us. He came to us and said he was interested and wanted to get into it. And we said, hey, man, go pass your hunter safety course and we'll do the rest. And you know, we outfitted him with his clothes, and he had barbed guns. He was kind of just using a smorgasbord of gear his first year. But, you know, he made it count when he had to.
You know, Corey Boomer here, and thanks again for joining us on the Four Outdoorsmen on Bob Country. We're talking to Corey Dukart, avid deer hunter up in Maryland, chatting about taking people out hunting, deer hunting for the first time. Corey, when you talk about that special place with a name, it reminds me of when I was down in Mississippi one time coyote hunting, and I don't know if I told you guys this story. And my buddy Shannon, who's kind of a wild card, like Stru, goes, all right, Boomer, we're going to go to the graveyard. And that's how we talked. I said, all right, Shannon. So we take the golf cart, His dad had a ranch down there in Mississippi.
That's real hunting.
Oh, it was getting towards evening, but legal shooting light. And up, next thing we stop and set up, and I look behind me, and it's a graveyard, right? Totally freaked me out, Corey. I lasted for like 30 minutes, and I felt like The Walking Dead was going to happen. But on a serious note, before we dive into your story with Reed, tell our listeners a little bit about your background. I know Stru said you're a regional pro staff guy with Mossy Oak, but share with our listeners a couple minutes about who Corey Dukart is.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I grew up in a whitetail deer hunting family. I mean, my dad and grandfather, that's pretty much all they did. And luckily, I was got to tag along with them at an early age. So I was kind of introduced to hunting, you know, right away. I consider myself, you know, one of the lucky ones, you know, to have that, you know, whereas my, you know, my friend Reed is, you know, he's getting into it now, but, you know, starting out so much further behind, you know, he missed a lot of years where he could have been doing it. From there, you know, I started dabbling into other things. Waterfowl hunting became a huge passion of mine and still is. And that's where the Mossy Oak part came into it. I was working for a company called, out of Memphis, Tennessee, called Buck Gardner Calls. They're a duck and goose call manufacturer. Doing a similar role for them that I'm doing for Mossy Oak now. When Mossy Oak started up their pro staff in 2008, they through some mutual contacts, they reached out to me and hired me on as the Atlantic Flyway Regional Pro Staff Manager. So we do things pursuit-specific. So I manage the waterfowl team and have been doing it for 10 years now since the very beginning. And it's been great. You know, Mossy Oak is a great company to work for. The people are amazing. And it's allowed me a lot of opportunities to meet awesome people and to learn. You know, to me, it's always been a learning opportunity, whether I'm, you know, doing a seminar and or just having a conversation. I'm learning new stuff from the people I'm talking to all the time, just a way to exchange information.
Hey, producer Mark here. I just have a question. What is duck hunting like kind of on the East Coast there? We talk a lot about the Midwest and maybe west of here, the Dakotas and everything. What time of year is the season out there, and what kind of ducks are flying through?
You know, through Maryland, our puddle duck hunting isn't great. We do have some really good sea duck hunting and diver duck hunting out on the Chesapeake Bay or even out on the Atlantic Ocean. Puddle ducks, you know, your mallards and teal and whatnot, we get some, and you can have some good hunts, but it's pretty spotty. You know, Maryland is really known for, you know, the Canada goose hunting. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've been fortunate enough to have hunted waterfowl in many different states and in Canada twice, and maybe I'm a bit biased, but I would put Maryland's Eastern Shore up against any of those places.
That's interesting.
It's interesting, yeah. Too, Corey, if you're into duck hunting, I was just doing some filming with Tony Vandemore down at Habitat Flats for early teal season in September, and there was actually a group of folks from Maryland that had came there to go duck hunting. I get envious of you out in the Northeast because you guys get into some of those big water ducks or ocean ducks that we just don't get a chance to crack at here in Minnesota or in the Central Flyway region.
Yeah, and that's, like I mentioned, that's, as far as duck hunting goes, you know, the sea ducks and the diver ducks are where it's at in Maryland for sure.
And Corey, just one other question that Stru has. Do you guys get like any opportunity? I know, you know, the king eiders, you know, you think of Alaska. Do you ever get a crack at them out there?
No, not a whole lot. Mostly surf scooters and stuff like that.
Cool.
Hey, Corey, you hunt the Green Ridge State Forest. That's 44,000 acres of public land. Is that where you took Reed? Tell us about his first deer hunt.
Yeah, absolutely. So that Green Ridge State Forest is where I shot my first deer back in 96. I was 12. But it's a huge hunk of public land that we're fortunate to have not too far from home. But actually, Reed's deer came from some public land in West Virginia. My parents, a few years back, bought some property and built a house in West Virginia, so we've been going there to hunt. We have a nice little house there that, you know, sleeps about five or six of us. And for deer season, that's where we've been going now for about 6 years. That deer hunt with Reed was a special one because, you know, the first day, and I think I mentioned this in the story, was, you know, he went out day one, opening day, everybody's amped up, and he saw nothing all day long. And part of me, as ignorant as it may sound, was happy about that, you know, because, you know, to me, I always say about any time I'm hunting, you know, you have to appreciate the struggle.
Yeah, I agree.
Without the lows, there are no highs. So I wanted him, at least for his first time, to experience some of that struggle, experience, you know, what a day in a deer stand all day long can feel like when you don't see a deer. And look, we all know that's going to happen and probably happens more than most of us would like to admit.
Happens to me all the time.
Yeah, Yeah, so it was on the second day of that season. This was last year's rifle season that this happened. I took him with me, and we happened to get on some deer, you know, just one of the deals, right place, right time, like most deer hunting situations are. And he made a great shot, you know, had to pull the trigger one time and do what he had to do.
Did he gut out his own deer? The 30-year-old rookie gut out his own deer?
He didn't. I took the honors on that one for him. I showed him. We kind of used it as a lesson. But I will, to his credit, he shot a deer just this past week. This was I just returned home today from West Virginia's first week of deer season. He got another deer this year on opening day, and he was by himself this time. And he took care of that one all on his own.
What a thrill!
He did mention that he did have to pull up a YouTube video and watch something to help him out. But that's just he's smart like that. He'll figure it out, you know.
Yeah. So now he's had the shakes twice. He's hooked to shoot some white-tailed deer. I'll tell you what. One of the things you mentioned that everything that he hunted with the clothing and the 30-30 Marlin, everything was pretty much borrowed. And you got to do all you can to get people to get interested in this game because it costs a lot of money to start. We got to get more people hunting.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, hunting numbers are down. They've been on the decline for years, and we definitely need to recruit new people, whether that's kids or, you know, this adult onset hunting craze, you know, which is what Reed was, you know, and I welcome those opportunities to bring anybody new into it because it's something that I've enjoyed for so long. Last year, you know, getting to watch him do it for the first time was something I really enjoyed.
Good.
Yeah.
Corey, do you guys do anything at Mossy Oak to help? I mean, I'm just trying to give you a chance to plug to get more kids, boys and girls, into the outdoors.
Yeah, I mean, so what we do with our pro staff, we go to events all year long, all over the country, and it could be anything from a large retailer like a Bass Pro or Cabela's to a small mom and pop shop, hunting store, or we'll do different things with NWTF and Ducks Unlimited and Delta, and a lot of those tend to be geared towards children, and we do all kinds of gear giveaways and hats, and kids are walking away with all kinds of stuff there. And I know that doesn't necessarily get them to a hunt, but for kids that, you know, they don't have that opportunity, at least it might spark an interest to say, hey, here's a duck call. You know, you can annoy your parents for a little while. Maybe they'll, you know, take you hunting. We do that kind of stuff a lot.
Hey, Corey, we got a couple of minutes here, maybe even 1 minute left. You've been to six states, two provinces. You do some of the do-it-yourself backcountry mule deer in the Rockies. What is on your bucket list? What would you like to hunt or fish, or where would you like to go? One final big trip. Where do you want to go?
For me, you know, I would probably say Montana. I haven't hunted Montana yet, and I think I have elk hunted, but it's been all in Idaho, so I think I would try to do an elk hunt in Montana and try my luck there.
Have you been successful in the Rockies with one of your do-it-yourself backcountry mule deer hunts?
I have not yet. We just got back from Idaho this year in October, and Dusty, one of my friends, Dusty Evans, who I've grown up deer hunting with and been to Idaho with twice, shot a monster, non-typical mule deer buck on a opening day this year while we were out there. So
what a thrill.
As a group, we were successful. Well, you know, we brought meat back this time, which was great. You know, last year we brought home a truck full of empty coolers, which was a little disheartening, but that's why they call it hunting and not killing.
That's right. You got a son and a daughter. How old are they? Are they into hunting? Are they going to follow into dad's footsteps?
I sure hope so. I'm going to give them every opportunity to do so. My son is 4 and my daughter is a year. My son did sit in a little pop-up blind with my dad, his grandfather, while I was in Idaho. They were up in West Virginia at my dad's property, and he took him out for an evening and sat in the blind with him, and he did really well, my dad said. And my wife had packed him a little bag full of snacks, and when he got back, they asked, Colt, what was your favorite part of the hunt? And he said the snacks. So he's going to fit right in.
He'll fit right in, yeah. Hey, Corey Dukar, thanks for being on the 4 Outdoorsman. Follow us if you could as well. Good luck with the rest of your career with Mossy Oak, and take care of those kids, and let's get more people hunting, all right?
Absolutely. Thank you guys for having me on. I very much appreciate it.
You bet, and congratulate Reed for us.
Yeah, you got it.
All right, take care. Have a safe winter.
Hey, what a good show to podcast. If you're just tuning in while the 4 Outdoorsmen wind down, we had Dave Genz on talking ice fishing, plus some deer hunting and duck hunting with Corey Dukart in Maryland, right, buddy?
We did, and I forgot to mention Deadshot Duck Calls got me a new duck call today. I forgot to tell you guys that, and I can't wait to show it to my son. I got it for him for a Christmas present. He doesn't even know it yet. I'll tell you what, thanks for listening to the 4 Outdoorsmen. Boomer's got something to say.
Get outdoors!